You know, when he was talking there, the point that really jumped out at me is you got to be dead to go where God wants you to go. You got to consider yourself dead. And it's funny because it's in my message today about what it means, you know, that we are dead. Amen. We are dead. So today we're going to talk out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And Delana and I did get to spend a lot of time with Pastor Nasser and Pastor Emel when we were in Egypt. And Pastor Nasser took care of everything for us, and Pastor Emel did. And it just made such a blessed time for Delana and I. And they took care of us so well there. It was incredible. And God moved powerfully, and we just had an incredible time. So we thank you, Pastor Nasser and Pastor Emel, you know, for your love for Egypt and what God is doing there. And we'll continue to pray for you and help any way we can. Amen? So today, the title of my message is To Win Some. I thought, to win some? No, to win. Everybody say win. Some. We got to win some, amen? You may not win them all, but you've got to win some. Stand with me as we read. We're going to read quite extensively. 1 Corinthians 10, 14 through 33. So, my dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are responsible, reasonable people. Decide for yourself if what I am saying is true. When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ?
And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ?
And though we are many, we all eat from one loaf of bread, showing that we are one body.
Think about the people of Israel. Weren't they united by eating the sacrifices at the altar?
What am I
trying to say?
Am I
saying that food offered to idols has some significance, or that idols are real gods?
No.
Everybody say no.
Not at all.
I'm saying that these sacrifices are offered to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to participate in demons.
You cannot drink from the cup of the Lord from the cup of demons too.
You cannot eat at the Lord's table and at the table of demons too.
What?
Do we dare to rouse the Lord's jealousy? Do you think we are stronger than he is?
You say, I'm not allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial.
Don't be concerned for your own good or for the good of others.
So you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience.
For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it.
If someone who is a believer asks you only if they accept the invitation, eat whatever is offered without raising questions of conscience. But someone also tells you that meat is offered to an idol. Don't eat out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person.
For why should I be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it?
So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.
Don't give offense to Jews or Gentiles or the church of God.
I too try to do everything I do. I don't just want to do what is best for me. I want what is best for others so that they may be saved.
Your Heavenly Father, thank you for this word today.
We thank you, Father God, for what you're bringing to light in our lives, God. The changes you're making in us, the transformation that's happening. And Father, I pray that through the hearing of your word today, God, that we continue to grow closer and closer to you. That, Lord, that we'd make any adjustments that we need to make. Lord, there's some minor adjustments, there's some major adjustments. But Lord, we all want to move to the glory of God that we may win some. And so, Father, we thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, in the Western culture, idol worship is not as prevalent as in the Eastern culture. I said a few weeks ago when I was in India and I was driving down the road, I saw massive roadside stores. They were just like big panels with idols on them. that you could stop and buy. They had masks, they had statues, they had things hammered out that you could stop and buy. You could stop and buy that god and bring it home with you. When I was in Bali, Indonesia, I was a little taken back by it. I mean, in Bali, Indonesia, I spoke in the biggest churches I've ever spoken. And got to minister to thousands of people. And it was an incredible time there. But then when they took me sightseeing, for the last day I was there, they took me to the ocean and everything. They took me to Monkey Park. You know, monkeys climb on you and stuff. It's a little freaky, but, you know, that's where they took me. And but as I was driving through, every home had an idol in front of it. Every home. And every home where that idol was, it was like an altar, and there was an offering there, you know, of food or something there. At every place we went to in Indonesia, it was crazy. It was just very prevalent there. And in cultures, different cultures, there's a lot of idol worship. And many that say that their idol is just a stand-in for God. Now, even in that, it is wrong, because Leviticus 26:1, it says, don't make idols or set up carved images or sacred pillars or sculptured stones in your land so that you may worship them. I am the Lord your God. He's God. We have to believe that he is. Amen. We can't make something. Remember what happened in the wilderness? They made that golden calf, right? Because a lot of times we struggle with what we don't see. Look at your neighbor right now. Take a look at your neighbor. You want to see God?
Look at your neighbor. Not that we are gods, who are we made in the image of?
We're made in the image of God.
Look at the person next to you, you're going to see God.
Now we're still perfecting ourselves, amen. We're not gods, don't get confused. We're not gods, but we're made in his image. Amen. So I can look to my wife, and I know I'm seeing God. Amen. Not the God, but the Spirit of the Lord is in her. Amen. You know, Delonda, one time she said, I just want to experience you. I just want to see you. I just want to touch you and stuff. And the Lord told her to look around. Look around. You know, what do you see in Pastor Jesse? What do you see in Angela? What do you see in Pastor Rob? What do you see in Terry? What do you see in the people around you? He says, that's me in them. Amen. That's me in them. So we don't have to look, make a something shaped out of an idol. We have it all around us, amen? We have the Spirit of the living God inside of us, amen? All you got to do is look in the mirror and see God. Amen? You see his Spirit in you, and you can see him moving in your life, amen? And that's the thing. You got to know that's how it works. You know, and if you haven't noticed, how many of you like Thai food? I love Thai food. I love Chinese food, you know? But, you know, I was even in the Thai restaurant just right down here in the street, and I looked up, and there's the idol. You go in these Oriental Indian foods, and they all have little idols set up. You know, they have the food there, and a lot of times it's oranges. I don't know why oranges, but they offer oranges to their idols, and then they put coins there. I mean, one day I was being bold and getting a little crazy. I do that sometimes. But I wanted to eat the orange. But it's food offered to idols, so I didn't. But you know, it's just the idea, because we don't think of idol worship around us, but it is. When you go to those restaurants, they're all around. If you drive out Highway 71, you're going to see this big, it looks like a bunch of piles of poo. That's the way you describe it, right, Delonda? And it's that Hindu temple out there on Highway 71. And there's another place when you go out, you go through Adelanto, and there's a big temple. I don't know what kind of temple it is, but it has a huge, huge idol out there that's worshipped. So it's coming to us, to our society today. And at this time of the year, what are we focused on this time of the year? Jesus. Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior, the birth of Christ. Amen. That's what we're all focused on, the birth of Christ. You know, we're going to be talking about that next week. You know, but Jesus was born of a virgin. Everybody say virgin. If she wasn't a virgin, then we would not be saved. Because he was part God,
part man. Amen. And it had to be that the seed of God was put in the woman for Jesus to come forth so that we could be born again. Amen. It had to happen that way. But, you know, whenever something so great happens, you know, we tend to want to make an idol out of it. And I believe that's what a lot of people have done with Mary. They've made an idol out of the mother of Jesus, Mary. Many people still think that she was still a virgin. I don't know how she had all those other kids still being a virgin, you know. But she wasn't a virgin after Jesus, you know. But people pray to her. They have prayers that are written out to her. And, you know, I was in this place called Cusco, Peru, in a church one time in a heavy witchcraft area. I mean, they say it's the witchcraft capital of the world. And Delonda and I were there ministering and preaching. And my spirit, I could not take it. I was so agitated in the spirit. I was angry for God for all the idol worship that I felt in my spirit. That the people had statues in their homes. They had pictures of saints. They were praying to Mary. And and God said, let it go on the people. He didn't give me peace. I had to preach on it. And I told him, you go home, you throw out them things, you throw out those statues, you throw out those pictures of the saints, you throw all that stuff out that you've been praying to, because we need to learn to pray the way that Mary prayed. See, Mary was taught to pray to the Father in the name of the Son, Jesus, in the name of her Son, Jesus, amen? And that's how we need to pray. We can't pray to Mary, we can't pray to the saints, I can't burn a candle to the saints because they're not God. And God says, don't have any other gods before me. Amen. So you can't participate in that kind of an action because that is idol worship. Now, you don't hear that preached a lot because we don't want to offend. And probably many of you came out of the Catholic Church. But you came out of it for a reason. You want God. Amen. And so you can't be bowing down to idols. You know, so when I know I've been to them places. And they won't even serve me communion. I'm like, come on, man. Because I'm not Catholic. But there should be no images, amen? We have to take to heart the commitment we've made to Jesus. We let go of those things that we used to worship. We let go of them. Now, it's okay to have nice things. Isn't it, Pastor Jesse? It's okay to have a nice car. It's okay to have a nice home. It's okay to have nice things in your home. As long as you don't worship it. We don't bow down to a tree. I'm okay with a Christmas tree because we're not going to bow down to it. It's beautiful. I mean, wow, I look at that tree this morning. I was looking at it. I was like, wow, that's a beautiful tree. Praise God. You know, and if you've heard the story of the three crosses, the three trees that Delonda's read one Christmas here. She read the story of the three trees and how one of them trees was made into a cross and that Jesus was hung on. And man, it's such a powerful story. Read it to your kids or your grandkids, the three trees. It's okay to have nice things, but don't make them your idol. You know, I remember what Paul said. He said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. You know, I've been rich, I've been prosperous. Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And Paul said, I've been rich, I've abounded, I've had a lot, and then I've had nothing. But he was always okay. And that's where God wants us to be. He wants us to be okay. When God asked us to move out of our house 2 years ago, he wants us to be okay with that. We're still wandering in the wilderness. We do care, but we care more about God, right? We care more about what God says to us. That's all we're wanting to focus on. What is God saying? Will you do what I tell you to do? Will you go where I tell you to go? Are you afraid? See, God's not given me a spirit of fear. He's given us power, amen? He's given us love. He's given us a sound mind. So it's learning to be obedient to God no matter what. I'm just, you know, he's made me an example for you. I didn't plan on this. But it's what God is doing in our life. And we're okay. Sometimes we get a little frustrated. Sometimes, you know, we got to go somewhere else. But we don't care. We just want God. How many of you just want God? Amen? So in all of that, I want you to realize, number one, we are the body of Christ. This is what he said in there. We're the body of Christ. Amen? We eat the bread. We drink the cup. We're the body of Christ. And he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says that to discern the body. And, you know, we always take that as this body. I need to discern my body. I need to discern my life. You know, but I also need to discern Angela. I need to discern Pastor Jess. I need to discern them as a couple. Are they doing okay? Can I pray for them? How is Eileen doing? Can I pray for her? Eileen, the Lord's healed her over the last few months. She had an insomnia so bad, but the Lord healed her. I need to discern Charlie. Is Charlie doing okay? Is he all right? I need to discern my sister, Dawn Maurice. Lord, what's going on with Dawn Maurice? Is she okay? Her husband's out battling, working on a healing today. So, Father, we pray for Danny today that the healing power of God just visit him right now and that his body be restored to full health in Jesus' name. See, we need to discern the body, because if I care about you, I need to know what's going on in your life. I need to be able to come and say hallelujah. Carol, you got a call before service was over last week, or a text or something, because I said, where's Tom and Carol? And if somebody says, well, I'll find out. Because we have to show that we're the body of Christ. And if we're the body, then we have to care. I can't say, well, I don't like you. If I said, Pastor Rob, I don't like you, chances are the Spirit of God's not in me. If you say, oh, I don't like Pastor Ron, but I'm the Lord told me to come here, you better work on that. Thank you, honey. Delonda gave me an amen. I'm good. See, we have to be able to discern the body, because we're the body. So a lot of times, you know, you got that one family member that don't like to connect. They like to stay on the outside looking in. You know that one family member, because you know what they don't want, Charlie? They stay on that outside because they don't want you to discern them. They don't want you to know what's going on in their life. So they just hang out on the outside, because they're afraid if they get too close, you might find out what they're going through. The good, the bad, and the ugly. They may be doing good, but they may be going through something. And you know, when we're going through something, that's when we need people. That's when we need people around us to encourage us. You can do this. You can do this. You can overcome. My God can heal you. My God can free you up today. Amen. My God can do all things. And we just have to, as the body, we've got to love each other enough. So I would just challenge you today, get everybody's phone number. I can't give it to you, you know, because they might get mad at me if I did. But go up and say, hey, give me your phone number. Give me your phone number. I want to call you. I want to just bless you during the week. Get there, give Gilbert's phone number. Call him and say, what are you doing?
No worries.
You got it. He says he's got it. No worries. But that's what we need to do. We need to be the body of Christ, amen? We need that. I think I'm way off my message here. We need to pray for each other. Yep, amen. So, oh, I know what I was going to say. We need each other in this sense. We need each other to encourage each other. We need each other to comfort each other. We need each other to exhort one another, amen? We need each other to prophesy to one another. Prophecy, the spirit of prophecy has got to rise up inside of you that you can exhort, amen, encourage, and bring comfort to people, amen. That spirit of prophecy has got to be alive inside of you so that we can function as the body and be healed, be whole, amen. Care about each other. And while you're doing that, number two, don't participate with demons. That's what he said. Paul referred to the eating the food offered to idols. You know, that we shouldn't do that. But there's other ways that we participate with demons. You know, we listen to those demonic voices. You know, we you know, I say, by your stripes you're healed, and you walk away, and the devil's telling you, thank you. dark side that we can participate in, but we're not going to participate. We're going to give to the Lord today. I'm going to pray. I'm going to stand. This morning, come and raise an offering. And don't leave the Lord out. Remember Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness to us. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts today. Jesus, we're so thankful. Lord, and I pray that as we sow our tithes and offerings to you, that you open up the windows of heaven to the people of God today. Father, that you pour out more than they can ask or imagine. Let your hand be upon them, Father. I pray that they get such bonuses this year, God, that it be overflowing and overwhelming to them, God. That, Lord, that which they have not expected would come because they've been faithful to you. So, Father, we sow our tithes and offerings to you, to your glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Come and give this morning. The other day doing some shopping for Delanda, and there was one lady, a Muslim lady that works a counter that I frequent, and she asked me about where I go to church. I said, it's on the corner at 8th and Lincoln, New Hope Family Worship Center. She says, well, do you ever speak there? I said, well, I'm the pastor. She's like, you're the pastor? And she's like, you don't look like a pastor. I said, what does a pastor look like? Now, she's from Pakistan, so she's used to the Coptic church, you know, and she says, well, you don't have a long white beard. I said, no, I'm a Christian pastor here in the USA. Mine's short. Rob's is getting long. I'm going to be like Rob next. Hallelujah. But she said, I want to go see a, she goes, do you give readings to people? I said, well, what we do is we prophesy what God tells us. And she's like, really? I said, yeah. And she said, well, I've been wanting to go to one of those people that do readings for me and stuff. Now, she's a Muslim. I said, don't do it. I said, God will not be happy with you. I mean, she's already got issues. I mean, because she's, you know. But I didn't want to further it with her. I'm hoping that she comes here and she gets saved and she gives her life to Jesus. Amen. I'm so tired of people getting so far down that when they come to church, it takes years to untangle all the mess. We need to get them saved now before they get so far gone that we go like, oh, man, we got to do count. Let's get them saved and get them transformed, move them into leadership and help us build the kingdom of God. So, girl, she went away with more than she probably bargained for. But, you know, but even reading horoscopes, it's coming into with the demonic stuff, you know. It's participating with demons. You know, there's a lot of games on social media today that I've been seeing that participate with demons. What's your future going to be? What are you going to go through in 2020? You know, and I see everybody post that. Don't do it. I heard one amen. Thank you, Mario. You say, I've been doing it. Well, stop. You know, King Saul, he's ruling Egypt. He's a king, I mean, king of Israel. And he kicks out all the psychics. He kicks out all the mediums. He cleans it all out. And then he has a problem and he can't hear from heaven. Pastor Jesse, everybody wants to hear from heaven. And what did he do? He went to the witch at Endor and asked her to conjure up the spirit of Samuel. Because he needed to hear something. He went and she's like, you're Saul. you're going to kill me for this. You see, when we're in that position, when we're not close with God, we'll do that fellowship with demons just so we hear something. We'll start wondering, I wonder what's on my palm. You know, we start wondering. You can't play with demons. You can't play with the Ouija board. And this is a warning to us. Remember, Paul has been giving us warnings of things that we should not participate in. And we need to pay attention, amen? Paul's objective is that we all get to heaven. Everybody say all. We all get to heaven one day, amen? And he is part of that great crowd of witnesses in Hebrews 12 that's looking down on us today to seeing if we're paying attention. He's encouraging you. He's cheering you on, amen, that we, one day when that trumpet sounds, are going to go up and not be left behind. We're going to go up. And along with that, number three, it may be illegal, but not beneficial. There's a lot of things. You know, I started making a list here. I'm just going to read you my list. Alcohol, marijuana, cigarettes, abortion, all the stuff filled with sugar, all the stuff filled with fake sugar, same-sex marriage. Do you know that Israel approved same-sex marriage this last week? We need to pray for them. You know, being a transvestite, whatever, pick your gender. You know, little kids are allowing little kids to pick their gender. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's legal that's not beneficial to us right now. Amen. Just because it's legal to the laws of the land does not mean that it's legal in the word of God. Amen. Not that we're bound by the law, but we're bound by the Spirit. Amen. The Spirit doesn't want us out there getting drunk. You know, I'm driving down 6th Street. I drive down 6th Street every day, and I see a sign. I forget what it's called, but they deliver marijuana to your home. You can order it online, and they'll deliver. It's like everything's becoming so easy, so accessible. You know, abortion. The L.A. school district is looking to put abortion clinics, Planned Parenthood clinics, in their schools. You guys will never know if your daughter has an abortion. You'll never know. And you won't be able to find out. Wicked. See, so there's things that you can do, you're allowed to do, but they're not beneficial. Our society has changed and swung the way on other things. Now listen, things have happened rapidly the last 10 years. Things really rapidly. And don't look for it to slow down. It's going to pick up, you know. If Jesus is coming, how many of you believe Jesus is coming? It just seems like we're in the last days. We had a lady in our doctorate class that writing a paper about the last days. And it's like, well, I asked her, do you believe this is the last days? And she said, yes. And if you really believe that, then you've got to be aware of what's going on around. Because, listen, there's going to come a point in time where you're going to have to make a stand. It's not going to be just easy here in the church. You're going to have to make a stand. I mean, where Pastor Nasser is, you know, he took me to dinner. I went to dinner at Pastor Emel's cousin's home. It was your cousin, right? And I went to the church where he grew up in, where he got saved, he got baptized, he helped work on that church as a kid. And when I got there, we had an armed escort coming in with sirens and lights flashing to the church. And when we got to the church and we were going to take a walk down to Pastor Emel's cousin, there's about 15 armed guards there. And Pastor Emel stopped me. He said, you see all this? I said, yes. And he goes, this is all for you. I said, oh, wonderful. You know, and you just don't realize how blessed we are. Freedom we have. You can tell anybody in America about Jesus you want to. You have that freedom, amen? Now, they may not like it, but who cares? Our job is to win some, amen? And so it may be legal to do, but it's not beneficial to you. Because, you see, when you go out in the world, the world has an idea of what a Christian looks like. Christian doesn't drink, they don't smoke, they don't swear. That's what the world thinks about Christianity. Just walk up and ask them, what does a Christian look like? And they'll say, hey, you know, you don't swear, you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't go with girls that do, you know. That's what they'll tell you. That's what the world has an idea about Christianity. Let's live up to it. Let's live up to it. Let's be that church, amen. That we're not doing those things. We're not participating with the world. Amen. That even though it's allowed by the laws of the state or the country, the Word of God tells us not to do such things. And we've been reading them through 1 Corinthians. When I read through 1 Corinthians and the Lord told me to teach this, it didn't sink into me all this stuff. I mean, because I told somebody, yeah, I've been preaching on 1 Corinthians. And they're like, oh, that's such a hard book. And it's challenging because he's calling us to walk right. Amen. To walk right. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our soul to another. Amen. Let us not lift our mind, our will, our emotions to another. Let's only lift it up to God. But the list goes on and on of things that we're allowed to do that are not beneficial. You know, I said, you know, all that stuff filled with sugar. Man, limit the sugar. 1900, the average person ate 5 pounds of sugar a year. You know what we eat now, Margaret? 150 pounds a year. The average person eats 150 pounds of sugar a year. See, it's good. It's allowed, but it's not beneficial. Man, I love that pie, that cookie, that cake just as much as you do. But man, I'm trying not to eat it all. You know, I have a piece. You know, give me a sliver of that. But man, some of you guys make some good stuff. But you know, those things are just as wrong as plowing down the alcohol. I do believe that sexual immorality is the worst. I've never heard so much talk on sexual immorality more than anything else as we have in these last few months. It's the worst. I believe it's one of those sins unto death, because he talks about sins to death and sins that are not death. I believe sexual immorality is a sin to death that leads to our destruction. And then number 4, do what's best for others so they will be saved. Our society as a whole has become very selfish. We want our way and no other way. We like things done our way. You know, as I've been telling you, if you want to have a great marriage, stop being selfish. Right? I do a lot better when I'm not selfish. Things go well. Donna's going, yeah. Settle down. You too. But if we're going to win people to Jesus, we have to lay down our lives. Philippians 2:3, it says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourself. That's what he's calling us to. To lay down our lives. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to be a witness. Now the word witness in the Greek, and here's where I go back to the beginning that we talked about, what Pastor Nasser talked about. The word witness in the Greek is martus. And this is where we get the word martyr from. So he says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a martyr unto me in Corona, in California, in the United States, to the ends of the earth. A martyr. In essence, the Holy Spirit is empowering us with the power to lay down our lives that we might win some. Amen. That we might win some. And that can be interpreted, your life is not your own, but belongs to Jesus to do what he wants and not what you want. The Greek definition of the word power is dunamis, meaning to have the power to do miracles. So we are empowered to lay down our life to do miracles for the King of Glory. We are laying down our lives. He gives us this power. And we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Amen. We can speak words of wisdom, words of knowledge. We can speak prophetically by the power of the Holy Spirit, and God will move through us. Amen. That's the plan. We are to finish his work. That's his plan. We finished Jesus' work here on earth. He went up. He empowered us to finish the work. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all power, everybody say power, power, is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Okay, so the word all power is given. That is exousia in the Greek. Exousia in the Greek. I'm saying it right. And that means the right to use power. So you've been given the dunamis power, which is the power to do miracles. Jesus has the right to use that power. And because of the Holy Spirit in John 16, 14, and 15, he says, the Holy Spirit will take as what is Jesus and he'll give it to you. So if Jesus has the exousia, the right to use the power of God, he will take that right that Jesus has, the Holy Spirit, and he'll give it to you so you can go and you can do lay hands on the sick and you can see them recover. See, the idea is that you can move by the Spirit of God and touch people's lives for the King of Glory. That's what God is calling us to. That's what we need to lay our life down to do. And as Pastor Nasser said, you got to be dead to do it. You got to realize I'm dead anyways. Why not? Why not go? I'm already dead. I get a lot of people that want to go with me, but still got to die. I died a long time ago when the Lord spoke to me. And he said, I want you to go where you're invited. I said, okay. But I didn't know. I didn't know what he would call me to. I had no idea. I just said, okay. And so when I started getting invited, I'm like, okay, okay, okay. I had no idea. I didn't get it. You know, so now when I go, I don't go in the fear. I go in the power, love, and a sound mind, because that's what he's given to me. But there's just things we need to die to. You know, 90% of you, he's not calling you to go to the nations. He's calling you to walk across the room. He's calling you to call that neighbor. He's calling you to call that brother or sister you haven't talked to in a long time. He's calling you to call that niece and nephew, to call your mom, your dad. He's calling you to reach out here now. Yes. You know, he's raising up people, the other 10%. You've been thinking about the nations. You've been thinking about going, and you need to start activating that. You need to go get your passport. You need to start praying about where God wants you to go. And, you know, we'll help you go anywhere you feel to go. We'll train you, we'll teach you, we'll, you know, give you stuff to go and do. It's not just about me going. I want everybody to go. But I want to know that somebody has gone to that apartment building. You know, if you looked on our Google page, there's a guy that put a really bad review on us because somebody dumped some trash on the other side of the wall down there and we didn't know it was there. And he said, well, they've never come to my home and invited me. We know that's a lie because we went to every one of those apartments last April. But do you see how people's attitudes are? Well, they never come. They don't care about me. God wants you to go. You can't just stay at home and live that comfy life. You got to get out of the walls. It's not just a church we got to get out. You got to get out of your home. You got to be active. I have so much materials upstairs. I'll give you to go. I'll give you the book of John. I'll give you tracts. I'll give you invitations to church. I'll give you whatever you need to go. Amen. You just got to be willing to go. You got to be willing to win some. You just got to be willing. You got to have that heart that God has for the lost. And you got to What's that last point here? You got to do what's best for others so that they'll be saved. It can't be all about us. We got to stretch ourselves. You got to go to the Walmart and meet those people and talk to them and ask them if they know Jesus. You know, there are estimated 16,543 people groups in the world. Out of those, there are 6,701 unreached people groups. That's 42.1% of the world's people groups that have never heard or accepted the good news of Jesus Christ. 42% has not heard yet. And they're coming here. That's why when I met Pastor Emel one day, he was here getting interviewed for his license with the Assemblies of God. And he told me that he had a church in Orange County, an Arabic church. I'm like, we need an Arabic church in Corona. You need to come to Corona. We need a church here because we have a mosque in our town that we need to push back against in the spirit. We need to win them. I said, here, come up. I gave him keys to the building. I gave him an alarm code. I believe in it so much that we need to reach these people groups that are coming to America because they're coming unsaved, many of them. And so we reached out to him, and he did a prayer group for about 6 months, and he had his church down in Orange County, and he's like, Ron, it's just too much. Come on, man. Leave me alone. But I wouldn't leave him alone. I kept calling him. You know, Pastor Emel, do you know that this month has been 3 years, right? 3 years, amen, amen. Because I called him, I said, you got to start a church. So he did. He said, all right, we'll start on Saturday night. So December 3rd, 3 years ago, they started doing church here in Arabic. And he still had his church in Orange County. But by Easter that next year, he said, we're just going to move everything to Corona. Can we have the 6 o'clock hour on Sunday night? And so they're here every Sunday night at 6 p.m. worshiping in Arabic, praising God. See, if we don't reach out, who will? We've got to have, you know, come here, Delana. See, when you hug somebody, and you hug from the side, it always leaves room for someone else. You have an open arm to reach out to touch somebody else. You just got to be willing. You got to be willing to reach out. You got to be willing to win some. If you're willing to win some, and you ask the Father, help me to win someone today, He'll bring them to you. He'll bring them to you. Come on. She's calling you out. Come on, Robert. Come on, maybe we could win some, huh? Come on, Terry. Come on, Rob. Come on. Maybe we could win some. Maybe we could extend our arms today. Come on, Pastor Jesse. Come on, Angela. Come on, maybe we could win some. Yeah, that's it, Dom Reese. You're catching on. Maybe we could win some, huh? Maybe we could, Scott, huh, Vicky? Maybe we could go and we could win some. Pastor Emel, maybe we could go and we could win some, amen? I went to Egypt with them and we won some, hallelujah. And it was a great time. It just takes the willingness to have that heart. Say, I want to win some. Why don't we all stand right now? Why don't we just move to the outside and everybody just join hands? Just join hands today. Just move to the outside. The outside. The outside. Move to the outside. Let's just go around the whole sanctuary today. Join hands. Come on. Spread across. No brokenness in this house in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Come on, you might have to move up a little bit. Let's Stretch your arms a little. Stretch your arms a little. Let's connect. Hallelujah. Come behind you. How many of you would say to me today, you say, Pastor Ron, I want to win some. Say, I want to win some. Say it. I want to win some. Out of the mouth. Out of my. I want to win some. I want to win some. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you empower every person in this building today, God. Lord, we are joined together, Lord, that we might win some. And I pray that by the power of God, Lord, that you would stir our hearts every day, every way, God. That, Lord, that we would be open. We have eyes to see those that need you, Jesus. Lord, you have made us one body. Lord, that we can love one another. Help us to be filled with the love of God for one another, Father. That we would win some, God. That we would win some. And, Lord, you've made us one body so we don't lose some. Help us to not lose any, God. Lord, that they fall by the wayside because of the love of God that's in our hearts for each other. Lord, I pray, give us strength. And Father, as we go our way today, you show us that person to win. Every day, Lord, every day, every day, every day. Empower us with your Spirit, Father, again, that we would win some. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Sing it with us.
Give us your heart.